Hello.
Hi.
Hey, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I was so camouflaged at the beginning, you didn't even know that I was here. This one part's crazy. Ask Rafe. He'll tell you all the things that it can do that nobody knew about.
Right. Hang on. I want to make sure we're actually live. Just in case anything else breaks, I'll at least know that we're. Oh my God. Okay. All right, Justin, it's your show for the next 5 minutes. I'm exhausted.
Yeah,
Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Oh, first of all, there's no first of all.
first of
Welcome to
all,
the show, fuckers.
yeah, welcome to the show. Love technical difficulties. Super dope. What's happening? Funny bone?
No, I had a Stairmaster accident 2 days ago, and I just smashed my shin into my desk again.
Awesome. Sounds like you're
Yeah.
just having a winning day all around.
Oh
You
my
know?
God. Yeah.
Well, hey, at least you didn't fall off your boat when you're in the lake all by yourself in 48 degree water.
Let me guess, it was punched too. The boat was doing 40 miles an hour away from you. So that's the
That's what the kill switch is for. Settle down.
good
Did I have a life jacket on? Absolutely not.
No.
I was fishing.
Do you have a life jacket in your boat?
Yeah, I don't want to go to jail. Settle down.
Oh, okay.
Though I am going to buy one on payday. That's one of those auto inflatable ones just
Justin's
for
like,
when.
what do you think I hide my weed in?
I don't. It's just in that little box, the little console. It's the same place I put it in my car. If we have time, I'll tell that story. But if not, let's stay on track. Dez has got
Yeah.
a Dez is trying not to, hurt himself anymore. And this was a great episode, first of all. Great episode of TV. Was it a great episode of The Wheel of Time? Let's not get into that just yet. Actually, we should get into it right now, and we're going to decide, I suppose.
As someone, for someone who doesn't read, it was a great Wheel of Time episode.
Oh, yeah. If you didn't have any, like, it was like your little chat GPT, as much as it makes me sad, was dead on. People were confused. People were mad. People were like, and there's a few people just like, I'm going to love it no matter what. And I was definitely kind of like that at the
Yeah.
beginning. And I still wanted to love it. And I wouldn't be mad if it was still going because, it could only improve, I hope.
Yeah.
We would have found out that Leandrin was actually Rafe's mom. So many spoilers. That being said, I'm just going to get right into some notes. Feel free to jump in however you want. I thought the opening was really good, but also kind of unnecessary, right? You could have waited until you could have put a lot of that into season two when or when you reintroduce Loghain to the story. You could have had him, daydreaming in the insane asylum right before Rand shows up, instead of having Rand with the little old scary crazy guy. Instead of having that, you could have Loghain having a flashback about, I was the dragon. I guess I'm not the dragon. It would have been much more poignant in the story. It would have been a better use of time for Loghain's story, as opposed to, because it was, I really liked it. Him, healing the king of Gildan and all that shit, and then them coming to rescue him. You could have flashed, you could have had the rescue, and then you'd be like, who's this guy? And then second season, you get, oh, it's the king of Gildan. He healed him. That's why he started to follow him. You don't need that exposition right there. It's great, but you don't need it right there. You could have put other stuff in that would be more relevant to where we're at in the story.
I think highlighting the madness was very relevant.
Fair enough. I think you could have done that with the Aes Sedai as well in a different way. The way they did it with the guy that they captured. Oh, the madness is already upon you. He could have done something in the presence of the Aes Sedai or said something and then have been like, see? It's already obvious. I just feel like it's good, but it detracts because then you're like, well, who is this guy?
Now, are we? If you're a book reader, I mean, if you're a book reader, you know
I am.
1,010% that Loghain is not, he is a false dragon. But
Right.
is the fact that it's a woman that is the voice of his madness, is that an obvious
Not just a
distinction?
woman, there's two. There's a male and a female.
Oh, Okay.
I think it's his parents. I kind of feel like it might be his parents.
But either way, the true dragon will have one voice in his ear, correct?
Ideally, I mean, you know, Rand only had one. It was the guy. And so, right. they, you know, they never really cover whether that's his madness or he's really becoming one with Luthien. And I think it's a little bit of both.
Well, no, because he's supposed to be able to communicate with his past lives. That's what makes him the one true dragon.
It's not. No, that's not it at all. It's just, you know, you're just reborn that soul. And I think a lot of them never even get that connection. The whole reason with Rand's madness, the fact that it's kind of like one of those things, the pattern, the wheel weaves, the wheel wheels, right? Yeah, we got the dragon. He's going to go insane. The wheel made that insanity an ability to him for Rand to use it to his advantage if he can figure it out. And he does. At first, he doesn't, and he almost kills everybody.
I fucking hate this story.
Yeah, it's a lot.
How can you and Jeremy stand there and tell me the show doesn't make sense when the book fucking... It covers its own story. It retells its own story every three books.
I think you just get confused, lost in it. You're like, this was cool. I don't know. I still love the books, man.
And why don't you get confused and lost in the show?
Why don't I?
Everybody. It's like, you know, because like as someone who has been force-fed this fucking story, I would have swore to God that the one true dragon would have Luthien in his ear, period, end of story.
Yes and no. They don't know that. We don't know that. We know. Jeez. We figure it out as we go along with Rand because he's like, he starts screaming Ilyena, and they leave it as such so ambiguous to where you're wondering, is he mad? Is he really talking to this guy? Is he just, you know?
Madness.
But my decision at the end is that he was absolutely communicating with Luthien or himself, or maybe it's like, what do they say? Like genetic, when there's a, oh fuck. You know, like lions are supposed to hunt and eat meat. It's like, it's that genetic code.
Are you telling me that in the books, you never are told point blank that Rand isn't going fucking insane?
It's obvious that he's going insane, but then he goes to a certain point of being insane and then he realizes like what the voice has been trying to tell him. And like, he gets a new perspective on everything and he kind of brings it back and he somehow kind of blocks off the madness from himself and he becomes completely sane at the end.
But he learns, crazy. He gets, I mean, half of his power is from communications from Luthien, right?
Right. And to him, and I think from his perspective, when we're reading the book, it's absolutely Luthien. But if I started saying, hey man, I started communicating with my past life that was a Spartan god, and you'd maybe have some questions, right? You might not believe that no matter how much I did, right? So you see people's perspectives of Rand outside of himself. Some believe, some don't. Some are like, I don't fucking know. So
I don't want everyone's different perspective in the book. I just like
the shit I like.
I want the perspective of Rand being the one true dragon that Robert Jordan spelled out.
Yeah. And you get a lot of that from Rand, from Perrin, from the point of view of people who trust and know him. You get point of views from people who don't. And they're like, this guy's fucking might be crazy, but I understand
that Robert Jordan is a good writer and he allows for characters in the book to be confused, but as the reader, does he spell out that Rand is the one true dragon and Luthien is communicating him from the path or from previous lives?
Okay. Yeah, it's obvious in the actions at the end of the book, the last couple of books. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. And actually, one of the most ways that they confirm that he's the dragon of the Borderlanders is actually quite fucking stupid. But it, like, the action itself is stupid, but the payoff to it is really good. Okay. So they mention a name of someone. They're like, how did this person die? And Rand turns around, just ashen face, and he goes, how do you know that name? And in his head, he goes, how the fuck do I know that name? How do I know how she died? And he tells them how she died, and they're like, okay, you're the dragon, because this has been passed down to our families since the breaking, that this person died this way at this time, and that we would have to, in a foretelling, find out that if you know this person, then you're the dragon, because there's no other way you can know that, basically. So,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, two notes. before we move on. One, happy birthday, Gary Erickson.
Hey, happy birthday, G-Money.
Today is it. And would the Sean Chan be interested in a false dragon?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think they definitely become interested for two different reasons. Some of them are dark friends, whether they know it or not. So they're definitely interested in the dragon. And number two, they cage anybody, or they collar anybody who can channel. And they do have a domination band that isn't perfect, but can collar men. And they definitely would like to collar him and then take him to the last battle and use him. But that would never work. But that's a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
So a lot of cool shit in this episode, man. The power use in this episode, I love. The shielding of Loghain, I think, was very cool. Him flexing and trying to get out of it was very cool. You're seeing that Loghain is strong, but at one point in the book, Rand breaks a shield of 8 people. Five people have their, or maybe only 3 have theirs tied off. It's either 3 are tied off and 5 are active, or 5 are tied off and 3 are active. But he goes through and figures out, like, it looks like a knot. And he basically, like, if you'd imagine, like, putting water into a lock and then freezing it, and then it explodes from the expansion. That's how it's described. If he slides the power into the knot of the weave and he just bursts it. And, like, even like how Loghain would flex that shield. It really was something that I thought was a good thing that went straight across from the books. It was like, that's how I kind of imagined it looking. That's how I would imagine it feeling to the person who was holding the shield, how it's like a strain, how they push on it, almost like, you know, you're holding a door against water and there's a big wave that hits it or something. I don't even know. But so I thought that was cool. Definitely.
Justin, they tell us in the show, it's like holding a cat in a bath.
And if any of you have ever done that, you know, by this point in your life, you probably are a serial killer. Why would you hold a cat in a bath? They clean themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's hard.
Some dude wipes.
And yeah. It's unnecessary. Some dude
wipes. Yeah. Hard, not impossible, but, you know, probably detrimental to the goddamn cat. Leave the cat alone.
I remember Kelly had a, she had a cat, and she,
I remember laughing and then going, boy, that's a terrible analogy. Accurate, but
yeah,
but oh God.
But you're right. Yeah. No one does it. Kelly lived with someone who never grew up with cats. And she's just like, when are you going to give your cat a bath? And Kelly's like, be my guest, but you better wear rubber gloves.
Hey, you want to get your forearms and face shredded? Fucking go for it. Go to town, man. Damn, Rafe's mom's a loose cannon. She's all over Nynaeve. She's just telling everybody what to do. Bossy. Speaking of gay men with overbearing mothers, you know Ross died, right? Sorry, that's terrible. You know Ross passed away like 8-9 months ago, right?
I did. Oh, God. I assume from an anxiety attack because
I finally heard. I've been trying to find out since I heard. It was apparently an accidental overdose, which doesn't surprise me a lot.
Oh. Was he always doing some serious shit? Or did he just go off the rail? We probably should be airing his dirty laundry, right?
No, I just think, and I don't know, speculation. I just, you know, I think he was an incredibly anxious dude. I'm sure he probably was on some sort of meds. I know he drank, you know, probably mixed in some Vicodin or something now, because he'd probably be 60-something-ish.
Yeah.
Almost 60 at this point. So, you know, it is accidental probably, so who knows?
Yeah.
But, you know, rest in peace, Ross McCartney. You weren't the worst to me, so.
Yeah.
One part of Ross was an incredibly wonderful person, by the way. You know, and he just
when he wasn't up your ass, he was great.
He was great. No,
he just, he loved to crawl up your ass and just live there all day.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
Just bam, bam, bam.
Nice chairs in the cave, right? Super comfy to hold the shield.
Oh.
they're really nice, like big wooden chairs. I'm like, glad we wasted time, you know, while we're going to get this false dragon on our chairs.
Well, and not to mention
that's an Aes Sedai thing, but
well, no, it's a fucking Rafe Judkins thing, and those are probably $20,000 that we could have used for season four.
Well, I mean, no, but in the books, you know, that's kind of like you know, that's how you show your kind of power with Aes Sedai. You bring your writing desk and your, you know, a few of your furniture things for your tent, and it's like the fuck out of here. The Aiel do it with rugs and shit. Whatever.
Speaking of bringing your shit, I think I answered my own question. I put a note in here. It said that if every Aja has a certain power, then why is it only the green Aja that are super horny all the time? And I think it's because it's
more of a specialty than a superpower, but I get what you're saying.
Well, either way, it's like, why aren't there yellow ones that have three warders? Why aren't there brown ones that have three warders? Like, why is it just the green ones that are so horny? And I think it's because since their specialty is power, they have all that extra energy that they need to get rid of.
If you're the battle Aja and you can't battle, you gotta fuck.
Yeah, except fucking, fighting, it's all the same.
Hey, I came here to fucking chew bubble gum and chew some Aes Sedai ass, and I'm warder ass, and I'm fucking out of bubble gum. So.
I came here to cage a dragon and fuck a warder, and the dragon's all good.
I was gonna like make a dumber joke in between there, but you nailed it. So, what I was gonna say is, like all things that fucking people in power, white people do, it's to, because it's always been that way, and that's how we're gonna keep doing it.
There you go. Exactly. Greens be fucking.
Greens be fucking. Other Ajahs be shopping. Greens be fucking.
You know what greens be like? Greens be like, actually, I don't even know what an Eiffel Tower is.
I never do this. That's how yellow Aja fucks. I never do this. Look at my name. As they take their panties off. I never done this.
Yeah, I never do.
I don't do this. This is so out of character. Liar.
Liar.
Yellows be healing. Whites be talking. Grays be thinking. I don't know. So yeah, the warder, like, you know, like again, another like kind of party day drink scene. Like you do get some exposition out of it, but not much. You know, the warder flirtation fire. And the, like the warder, like Tai Chi, like tantric.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lan, how do you do it with Moraine? Like, dude, stop it. I'm uncomfortable. I'm glad he died. No,
whoa, they give. They like it's weird how weird Lan and Moraine are to everybody. Like, it's I understand they have a certain dynamic, but in the Aja war,
well, they're standoffish because nobody's seen them for a long time. They haven't been to the tower for years and years and years.
It's not that though. It's not just like, where the fuck have you been? It's like, oh, these two, yeah. Oh, we know what they're like. The old, you know, like I don't know. It's more than just absence that makes them weird. And I just think that's interesting in the warder Aja world that they stand out so much for being quiet and stoic.
Okay. Yeah, and like, and they're all very different as well. Sorry, my boss just called me. I gotta go fucking help him on Friday count money, because apparently I'm getting promoted by being gone for 3 months. I'm like, no, I didn't want this responsibility, but okay.
Yeah, but I'll take the money if I can count it.
Well, no, like my boss, he's only like 31, 32, but I'm incredibly loyal to him. He's been really, really good to me. So I'm like, he's going out of town for a wedding, and I'm like, they want me to help do the weekly drop. And I'm like, well, I haven't done it here. And there's other people who are more in line for that kind of a position than me. But I'm incredibly loyal to him, and I want him to go out of town and have a fucking 3-day weekend, because the guy works his fucking ass off. He gets to actually leave his kid home with the grandparents too. So I'm like, yeah, I had plans that day, but whatever, bro. I was literally gonna go fishing that day and shit. So, but I'm like, but he was just calling me back. So,
okay, Justin.
Anyways,
Justin.
Yeah.
Do you have a minute? I really need a sincere minute of your time.
Yeah.
And don't worry, everybody can listen to this. I'm not going to read these books. It doesn't look like I'm going to read these books. Please tell me why I should hate Aram.
Okay. I have a note about it in this episode or in my shit. So do you want me to answer now or wants me to wait?
So just to you can answer it whatever you want, but I'm just going to set the table for everyone out there. Everyone, I only know Aram from the TV show, and I really like him. And I have been told that I will not and should not like him, but everyone has been good about not spoiling it for me. But I think it's now that the show has been canceled. And if you want to tease me with it, you can tease me for the rest of this episode. You can tease me until the end of the season. But just so you know, spoil away.
I'm going to say, I will give you the reason at the end. But okay. I have a note that even says, you know, Aram is much more likable.
Okay.
And part of it is that you don't get to see him get to his most fucking annoying shittiness. And he's not even shitty. He's a white boy that, you know, grew up in the suburbs. And he was like, I'm going to go, you know, sell cocaine and trap and be a gangster. And then he just gets robbed and you know, thrown on the street with nothing but his pants. Like, he's like that. He doesn't, you know, he grew up with the way of the leaf. He doesn't know how to fight. He learns how to fight really well and becomes a really fucking, like, damn near blade master badass. And, but his personality changes quite a bit. And I'll get more into that at the end if we have the time. Otherwise, I can hit it next episode. Cool. We'll run through some shit really quick. Okay. This episode's really well acted and well written, everyone except Perrin. but like I said, well acted as a TV show, not necessarily a Wheel of Time TV show. I think they could have added a lot more exposition here and there and just use their time better. Other than that being said, it's a very entertaining watch. I don't trust these fucking people. I mean, these Romani people who came out of the hills, and they're just like, they're kind of weird, right? They're a little bit like, you know, like fucking Children of the Corn almost. They're like, do you know the song?
Yeah.
And that's immediately why I was like, you know, Aaron's a lot more likable. He's like, no, they don't know the song. Otherwise they would have known what the fuck you were talking about when you asked them if they knew the song. So obviously they don't know it. And you know what? Stuff doesn't come back to you like a leaf because I still have missing toys. And so immediately you're kind of like, all right, a little sarcastic. He's got a sense of humor, but he's still optimistic about his lot in life. All right, cool, cool, cool. But I wouldn't fucking trust those people. Oh, do you want some food? Is what's in it? Is it made of people? Is it Soylent Green? What's happening? What's the fucking deal with your dead-eyed dog staring off at the trainers? Not the best dogs, probably the best dogs they could find training-wise. They had to spend a lot of money on the trained wolves. You know, first time that Perrin had good instincts or not. I mean, I guess they're not so bad, you know, as far as not trusting them. aside from that, we jump back over. Alana and Moraine's conversation is a good example of exposition at the beginning. They start to kind of talk about some stuff, and then it just fades off into kind of like nonsense that's too much for what we've already learned. You're like, what are they talking about?
Yeah.
So then it just is irrelevant. So Alana, bit of a slut. I love sluts. So Alana is fine. Sorry, baby.
Not derogatory at all. Hey, sorry, everybody. Baby. Hey, everybody. Justin is a huge slut. Holy shit.
Wow.
I'll just never forget how gross. What's her name? Jason's girlfriend. Leanne. I want to say Leanne, but
that's Linnea. Linnea.
I remember, like, when we would go to the club and you would get some randos, like, rubbing on you, she would get so grossed out. Like, it was just so funny because I'm just like, he's at the club, of course.
I know what you're talking about. When we went to the Phoenix Underground and we're dancing, and those two girls, I almost went home with them, but I was like, they didn't really want, they were more interested in each other, but they had fun.
Either way.
It was, I forgot it was, about that. That was fun.
It was just good club fun, but she was just like, if they had thrown up on you, she would have given less of a gas face.
Yeah, dude, she wouldn't have loved to hear about me and Brent then either. I should have been real upset. You know, it's funny. I know I've told you this, but when I actually I was fucking stoned and fucking high and was like, just busted that out. Lisa was like, what? I was like... she was like, oh, no, you're gonna need to explain. And like, we laughed about that
because she knew Brent, right?
No, she never knew Brent, she just knew my description of Brent and his fucking fire hose of a wiener and his neck tattoo.
Dude, this guy weighed 85 pounds soaking wet.
Yeah, such a fucking dirty little Hessian skater. You know, anyways, you know that Linnea was like knew Zoe and Nicole, right? From the Boys and Girls Club for like years and years and years.
Oh, we actually
went over when she was with her husband or whatever. I think maybe even had a kid. We actually went over there for like, you know, dinner and drinks one night and hung out with them. It was really awkward, really weird.
Yeah. I wouldn't have recalled that on my own, but I did.
Linnea was much different.
Really?
At least on the surface.
Well, she always wanted to be a grown up, so.
Yeah, I guess she finally grew up. I don't think it was real, though. I think it was very put on. Anyways, that's neither here nor there.
First nominee for NPC, Jenny the dog. Jenny the dog.
It's Jenny the dog. Oh, right, right. Great name for a dog, by the way. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah. And then how is Atlanta? First of all, Atlanta's mentioned women and men who claim the title. As I think everybody on the fucking set should have just went, incorrect. Because of, you know, it wouldn't matter if she was a woman. And how is it Atlanta, like, who's mostly thinking about Warder Wiener at the beginning of this and fucking shit up with the power, is the only one that goes, what if the Reds gentle the dragon before we find him? Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, what if? Ideally, the pattern would not let that happen, but, you know, that's what you always say. That's your answer for everything, the Force.
But it turns out the more I talk about this show, the more I talk about this property, the less any of it matters.
Dude, literally, my next line is Jenny is a stupid name for a dog. You see my writing when I'm shorthanding it. It's very clear. Jenny is a stupid name for a dog.
There we go.
No wonder the dog ran away from you. I don't know. Anyways, over. I was going to say, my NPC is really any of the unknown Red sisters that are just like, you know, you know, it's like, how many of them are there? It's like, there's like 12 Red sitters and then like a couple of each other. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. So the Nynaeve and Lyandrin dynamic is, I get why they kind of gave them some drama so that when she's training Nynaeve, they can. But that's a scene that was with the Amaryl and Seat in the books. And it just doesn't weigh the same to me. It's really thinking about, even though they built up that dynamic between them for a season and a half or whatever, or three seasons. I don't know. I think that was, is that the third season when they kidnap them? I don't even fucking know. It doesn't matter. Second season, I think. But it doesn't even weigh as much. And like Nynaeve and the Amaryl and Seat don't really have that much time around each other. It's almost like Nynaeve is looking at the Amaryl and Seat as a extension of Moraine in the books because she knows that they're in cahoots or whatever. So she's just mad in general. And she's like the queen of the Aes Sedai's. And so she's like, I can tell her my mind. And so you'll never get that dynamic between Lyandrin and Nynaeve, no matter what you did. And I think it was a waste of fucking time because you see the payoff in it at the end and Lyandrin's still not fucking dead. Nynaeve just parts the water like Moses. So that was a really long, long con that shit the bed. Also, the King of Gildan, you don't really find out who he is until later. That was my other NPC.
Sorry,
he has lines. He has lines, I guess. So that's not really.
I got distracted a little bit because I couldn't remember the actress's name because I can't remember any actress's name. Stunt cast for Aram's grandma, Andie MacDowell.
Wait, what? For whose cast?
Fan cast for Aram's grandma.
Oh, that'd be a good one.
Andie MacDowell.
Minnie Driver.
Ooh, there you go. I was driving myself nuts. I'm like, I know there's three other actresses that could win the Andie MacDowell lookalike contest.
Yeah. Oh, Minnie Driver is infinitely hotter than Andie MacDowell. The other one would be Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Infinitely? No, Julia Louis, way. She's way too smiley to pull that.
Yeah, that's true. What's the way of the leaf?
She could be like a third tier Aes Sedai, like in the background, like maybe she's got a few
speaking
parts. Like she could definitely pull off that. And then on that, Aram's grandfather is Dennis Quaid.
Fantastic.
Dennis Quaid and Andy McDowell.
I was going to say Brian Cox.
There you go. There you go.
He bit the soap and spit it at us for real. I've been scouring the internet trying to find Perrin's casting couch interview with Rafe. Oh, that's not. that one wasn't supposed to be read. My bad.
It's definitely an implied. I don't think anything happened there, but Perrin got a lot of callbacks.
And I just, you know, the part in True Lies when he's trying to pretend to be the drug baron and tell her to dance sexy. That's what I'm picturing with Rafe. Take off your clothes. No,
please, dance. I'm not sexy for me. I'm not worth the bullet.
That's all I kept picturing, dude. Oh. It was like, I don't know how.
I guess your shoulders are so broad.
What? Okay. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was where Matt was. He's scouring the internet, not me. Sorry. Did I not say that? Matt is, he's in a basement, just
clickety clacking.
What's on Blue Sky?
Where am I?
Is there a Discord chat about Perrin's videos? I'm a real actor. Yosha is good and believable as Rand. Absolutely. Sorry, I had to read my own fucking handwriting. I think he would have crushed anything they put in front of him. As far as you could tell, there are times when he's less good, but you can tell he's probably directed poorly that day.
Who?
Yosha as Rand.
Oh, yes. Yeah, totally. Well, and that's where you realize that it's especially like the first four episodes are probably
like you got some really good like Madeline, whatever her fucking name is, Wayne, she was awesome. Nynaeve as an actress is awesome. Rand is awesome. Both Barney and Donald, awesome. You had some people like, I hope that this doesn't keep them from getting other jobs.
What's Barney's last name? I'm trying to search him up. And I
Harris?
Thank you. There it is. NPC is the boy at the farm. The son, Matt has a really long conversation with the daughter. The mom and dad talk. Everyone talks. The son just stands there with a dumb Perrin look on his face.
It's Perrin in the next turning of the wheel. Clean up the shit and then you can sleep where the shit you clean. So, you can sleep in the shit, I guess, if you want to, but we really need it clean. So it might be better if you clean it and then put some fresh straw down and then you'll still only just smell like piss tomorrow. Just another note I have. Aes Sedai 90210. Leandrin says, ew, penis. Is cold chicken Lan's wiener? Fucking hippie tinkers forswear violence. No. I'm just like, so Aaron is much more likable in the show. There's my note with that. And like I said, he immediately comes off as more the most normal tinker, right? Like, oh, this guy doesn't seem that different from any of the boys in my village.
Well, he seems like a normal person.
Right.
I would say he's a little off for a tinker.
Yeah. Matt had some Taco Bell. You saw the black stuff come out of his mouth. He's not doing good. Aaron's much more likable in the show. Perrin is not. Was my next note. You get the Birgitta name drop with the doll, which is, it's something that I freaked out at the time, but it's like, who gives a shit? The rest is so lame. There's just no payoff. Rand and Tom's conversation was really good about the Aes Sedai and Owen and stuff. It's a little vague. It's like you really need to kind of know what the books are to kind of – it's you can figure it out, but it's much more poignant if you know the story a little bit more. You see why Tom hates Red Aes Sedai and doesn't trust Aes Sedai in general.
Yeah.
Orders fire is not necessary. What else?
So I got an update. I got a real update. I am going to watch. I'm going to rent and watch The Severed Son, spelled S-U-N. Not starring, but including one Barney Harris.
Really? When's that? When was it released?
2024. Like, I swear we've looked since then. I'm going to see it. There's another one called My Oxford Year, which
is it a different Barney Harris?
No,
by chance?
Okay, no.
Cool. Maybe they were like, you can't promote anything, some sort of non-NDA or something, you know? Maybe, who knows?
Oh, it's on Netflix. My Oxford Year is a Netflix thing.
Huh. Okay, cool. I want to check it out.
Cool.
Let's see. Yeah. So I love another thing about Alana and Moraine's little, like, well, and speaking of the dragons, like, you're in a fucking camp filled with Aes Sedai's people. You don't know if you can trust or not. You don't know who's listening. The dragon, false dragon, is right there around the corner. Let's talk about the real dragon and how you're looking, like, you know, I was like, maybe not. Maybe let's not talk about it. Maybe say less, as the kids say. Let's see. Also, you get emotional when I drink. I didn't like that because that's not exactly how the border bond works. And it's like, same thing with like, oh, this is going to hurt. And he doesn't even flinch or anything. So they took so much time to explain the water bond incorrectly. You know, it's those, yeah. there were other things that come from that. And those, at least if those were things that were very, very prevalent, they didn't make it so in the books. So to really bring them to the forefront doesn't make a ton of sense. Those are the problems that I had with this episode, is like the lore seemed to get kind of fucked up in this episode.
It's not a bad shorthand, but you're right. It's not consistent enough. It's like, if you're going to go there where it's like fucking E.T. and Elliot, then you need to kind of stick to it a little bit.
They were dancing and then, you know, bad things happened. So, you know, no dancing in this show apparently. Otherwise,
that's true. Good call. Good call.
And the song wasn't really about, I can't remember what he said, but it was more about, they had songs for growing crops and other shit. So it wasn't really exactly how they said, but yes, and it did have a little bit of, it did have somewhat magic to the singing a little bit. And I don't know if that was something that was natural or power enhanced or what. So
Justin,
again, more lore that's like, why are we doing this if we're not gonna pay it off?
Was there a song to make my penis stand up?
Yeah, yeah, it goes, hold on, I'm sure I guess right. It goes bounce, bounce, bounce. Hi, I'm here to fix the cable.
It's working.
There's several variations. You know, I hear you have a problem with your refrigerator.
Is this pizza for you?
This pizza is cold. May I make it hot for you? I don't know why I'm doing that accent. But
I like that our Big
Lebowski.
Just some random European stud.
Yeah, just hello. I'll fix the cable. sorry.
Your Cinemax is dead?
Yeah. overall, too much time with the Tinkers. Matt and the Fade is in the Matt Rand's dream is total fucking nonsense. At first, I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I watched it again. I'm like, this is dumb as shit. This has no bearing on the rest of the fucking episode, season, series. None of it. And you don't get answers to any of it. It's just like, I guess, oh, dreams are weird. You're not supposed to explain them. It's up to interpretation. It's like, you're making a TV show, dude. Make it a little more linear.
Well, the one thing they all have in common is the man with embers for eyes. He's in all of them. So he's kind of haunting their dreams until we get to the eye.
That's fine, but make it make sense so it pays off later. Don't just be like, oh, he's doing scary stuff. Great. Slender Man is scary.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It just make you know, why are you wasting screen time on something that won't pay off? As my opinion, if you're a showrunner, you're getting 8 episodes. Every single second of screen time needs to be important. You can put fun stuff in there, but it better be fucking important still.
I don't know. I think everything we could look at now is being poorly executed, but I think having what's his name haunt all of their dreams until they get to the eye. But I guess that shouldn't work.
Right. Just make the dreams make a little bit more sense. So it pays off in those end. You know, like
connect
them a little bit more. They're so fragmented.
The guy they're being haunted by the man with embers for eyes. Like it's a dream world. Like it's not going to be a perfect in order for it to even seem kind of dreamlike. It has to be a little like, wait, what's going on? So there's just that one connecting thread of like, who the fuck is it? Like, as a viewer, you're like, these dreams are weird, but dreams are weird. But this guy keeps showing up. So that means something.
Like an example of a dream that it's not a dream, but it's, you know, Nynaeve when she's still in the arch and then Matt shows up in his nice clothes and Perrin's there with her daughter. That's kind of a dreamscape, makes a whole lot more sense.
But that's not a dream. That's Luz like putting visions in his head. That's not a dream.
Yeah, Ishmael, but yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
And she's in a Turing world that creates these visions, but it doesn't necessarily have bad intentions like Ishmael probably would. Do you think here's a real question. Do you think Leandrin aided in like they don't show it, maybe something, but do you think that maybe she let the shield slip a little bit so that they could either gentle him or just cause havoc and maybe an Aes Sedai'll die? Or do you think that was completely organic of him kind of escaping? I don't think she was holding the shield when it happened, but yeah. She was the right there. I don't know. You know, her trick was compulsion. Maybe she could have compulsed Maxim to go attack him because Karini was dead. I don't know. Like, it was something I noticed.
Could she have caused the distraction that just when they're like, what was that? She goes, that's my warder.
Those are my wards because the other army was coming. And it's like they can set up like almost like an alarm perimeter. And
wasn't Leanne there at that point?
She was there, but it were Karini's wards, I believe. And so.
Okay, so she definitely didn't set up the false alarm from a ward.
No, because they were coming.
Okay.
Yeah, the army was coming, and they breached the perimeter, and that's why it went off.
The thing is that I think Leanne should have caused
it. Or, like, she even just didn't try as hard to help contain him till the end so she could gentle him.
Either way, we shouldn't be guessing. Like, if she's going to
see something, that, a look.
Which is the one thing, which I would say normally – no, she definitely didn't because we didn't see it. But this show is so poorly produced. Like, that's like one of those things like fucking Rafe was like, oh, in season 5, we'll find out that Leanne let the thing slip. And it's like.
And there's so many things that I'm like even saying right now, if you would have pushed those off and filled that time with something a little more poignant for the story right now, you might have succeeded.
Yeah.
So it's just bad decisions all around.
I just think that Leanne and Nynaeve, I think if they gave each other a chance, they would realize that they're both huge bitches and should hang out more.
Right. And you know what's funny, too?
Nynaeve, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say, oh, I love that. I don't mean to intrude. I'm like, well, I'm going to intrude.
Yeah.
But the battle scene was awesome. I thought it was really good. Well done, choreographed. I liked that. It was, you know, really, really well done, I thought. And I thought about something you said. This is episode 4. They make a good case for Nynaeve to be the fucking dragon. She's the most powerful in 1,000 years, man. Oh, like a burning sun.
Yeah.
You know, and I think he worked so hard on putting those red herrings in there because if a woman were to somehow channel Sidene, he would be able to see it. So maybe that's a little red herring to just fuck with people. Maybe he just, you know, it's like what she's doing is so powerful. He can just see some sort of an aura, not necessarily the power. But it's just like, I think they worked really hard on those double entendre type things that just fell super fucking flat. But it made me think of what you said. Is like, I think up until episode 3 or 4, he was like, I don't know who's going to be the dragon. I would love to see some cutting room floor shit where like, oh, if Nynaeve's the dragon, then this happens. Or,
yeah. I think they filmed the first episode simultaneously and he kept it vague because he was constantly fighting with people in the boardroom about making that big of a fucking change because he wanted a woman. And everybody out there, I'm fine with the woman being the last dragon, but not just
canonically. It doesn't work.
It's just go do something else. Make it another turning of the wheel, like the wheel of time.
The whole trepidation of the dragon. It's a man who channels Sidene, and because he channels Sidene, it will make him go insane and he will fuck shit up. The good news is there should only be one dragon when there was hundreds of men who could channel back then. But by the time we get to the end of this, there are hundreds of men who can channel again because Rand starts fucking training him. And when the fucked up part is when they get a little too mad, they just kill him.
Yeah.
They don't even gentle him. They just kill him. Yeah. A little something in their wine and they don't wake up.
My favorite scene in this episode, I've never noticed it before, but when Moraine walks into that cave, she looks like a fucking cowboy about ready to draw on a saloon. Like, she fucking you can hear the, like, if I put the sound effect over it, you wouldn't even think twice.
Little ching, Sharon Stone Quick in the Dead vibes.
Cha-ching.
Killed my, I'm here for the guy who shot my paw.
She's stepping wide like a cowboy. She's strutting slow. Like, oh my God. Let me just say,
I love Rosamund Pike, but I am noticing some kind of hokey acting decisions that I've seen. And I'm like, I loved her so much that I miss him, but you are 1,000% dead on. Okay, really quick, last two things. I don't know what that joke is, so I'm not going to say it.
What is...
Ezra, Rafe's mom is trying to pray the gay away gently. Gentling? Oh, is gentling trying to pray the gay away for Rafe? maybe like, I don't know, get the evil at you. You know, I don't know. Fucking he's from Utah. And people, fucking Mormons are weird. The last thing, Loghain just sitting there listening to him fucking gossip and biding his time until he flexes and tries to, when they're not paying attention. He was like, he looks like he's asleep. He's not paying attention or whatever. And then boom, like it was like a serpent waiting to strike. I thought that was cool. And the last thing is the reason why we don't hate Show Aram as much as Book Aram. First thing, he comes off as normal. Second thing, you see him in an impossible situation at the end of the show that we already know about, and that will color how you feel about him now as opposed to the first time. First time, you're like, I don't get it, but whatever. And after you see that, you immediately have sympathy for him. You, as a dad, man, family guy, you did the right thing. That Trolloc was going to eat that fucking baby, and you too. Kill it, man. It's a monster. It is a monster. It is not an interpretation thing. It is a monster. It is going to eat you. It will eat the baby. All it wants to do is kill you, and these are facts. Trollocs are not friendly, despite, you know, the cold open of season 2, which we'll get to what a travesty that was, too. In the book, you are working along that same lines. He's a little weirder, but more, like, not weirder, but, like, more cocky and more, like, arrogant and, like, while he's not a fighter, he's definitely a lover and he flirts with all the girls and he's incredibly good looking, big guy. And then they separate and right before the Battle of the Two Rivers, they get attacked and the Tinkers are coming into the Two Rivers and they've been decimated. They've killed his grandfather. Like so many people are dead. Aaron walks in and he's like all fucking like weird. He keeps looking at the swords and he asks Perrin, he goes, can anyone take one of those? And he's like, yeah, we're going to fight. And he's like, can you train me? And he's like, no, I don't know how to use a sword. He's like, but Tam can, Rand's dad. He's training a lot of people how to fight. And he goes and picks up a sword, and then his grandmother disowns him, sort of like in the show. But like he made a conscious decision that I am not going to take this shit anymore. I do not believe in the Leia Weep. They can hate me if they want. It's sort of like it's very parallel in the book with what Rand's – you know, ancestor goes through in the rings when he gets disowned by his family. And then he's like, well, I'll protect him. Right. That's Aaron. He's like, I don't care if they hate me. I can't watch any more of my people die. So he's very noble, and his reasons are very, very noble. And at that point, you're kind of like, all right, he's arrogant, whatever. He's still a little weird, but like, you know, good job. Let's get it. Let's go fucking kill some Trollocs. And he becomes damn near a blade master. He's really good. He saves Perrin's life 3 or 4 times where he would have died. And then he becomes obsessed with Perrin's wife. And there's this guy called the Prophet that he starts kind of listening to, and he starts preaching that Perrin is a dark friend because of his yellow eyes and because all of how the Trollocs follow him and all this shit. And in the middle of a battle, he ends up trying to kill Perrin.
Okay.
And Perrin, if I remember correctly, Perrin he tries not to, and eventually somebody else kills him, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
But Perrin's literally like, stop, 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 stop. He's like parrying all his blows. And eventually I think it might have been Gaul that kills him, actually, or maybe one of the maidens with an arrow, or just like, you know, somebody who is protecting Perrin kills him. Because Perrin literally doesn't want to strike a blow and kill him because he's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
He was like Perrin's bodyguard for like a book and a half. And he was like his little wolfhound. He followed him everywhere. He was just his little, you know, puppy. But then he ends up trying to kill him because he's so obsessed with Fael. He thinks that he's making Fael, Perrin's wife, a dark friend somehow. I don't even remember that. I can't even, like, it was something that was glossed over, and there's a lot of other dumb shit going on in the books where that's happening. And then, you know, he dies. But like, you know, you eventually be like, you gonna try to kill Perrin, dude? Like, he protected you. He took care of you. He's the one person who like backed you when you decided to pick up a sword, and then you're gonna try to kill him, dude? Like, what the fuck? So he's a backstabbing little bitch, is why you hate him in the book.
But it wasn't like I assumed he just became a consistent dick. He just. Something got under his skin, and he just did one major dick move.
Yeah, yeah, and then like, and it's, you know, he just gets kind of weird, but like he's always kind of weird. So Perrin doesn't think much of it, and then eventually, like, literally, they're in the middle of a battle, and Perrin like kills a Trolloc or something, and or maybe a White Cloak. I don't even remember. And he turns around, and Aram's like, he like almost cuts his fucking head off right here. You know, like it's crazy.
Maybe that's why he had Perrin kill his wife, just to have, like, I don't know. Either way, sorry, I'm getting off track. It's almost like Robert Jordan was like, I don't know how to write this guy. Like, I don't know. Like, I created this character, Aram, and I've been doing some stuff with him, and I got him involved with the whole crew, and now I just don't like writing from his perspective anymore. And then just like made him do something really stupid so he could just kill him off and stop trying to write for him.
To involve him. You know what? I would almost say maybe, but he had no problem just leaving people out of fucking whole books. So,
but was it,
other than like, the Aemon's Fielders.
But like I said, but if Aram is like this with Perrin, like he created a bond, yeah, maybe there, like that he couldn't just eat this. That was the
how am I going to get rid of this fucking guy? I got to start slimming down their little entourage. So
yeah.
Overall, let's rate this motherfucker, and then I'll tell you how I fell off my boat.
Two things. Does the whole Steppen thing happen the exact same way in the book? Does he charge?
It doesn't happen at all in the book. So
Jesus, yeah, he doesn't free Loghain.
I don't think Steppen exists in the books.
I hate that the Aes Sedai would have been punished for what they had to do with, like, I understand how when they had Loghain contained that they needed to bring him to the tower for a proper court order. But once everything goes sideways, you got to trust your Aes Sedai to do the right thing.
I would agree. That's kind of their job.
Yeah. Like, hey,
we're going to move Hannibal Lecter. I'm sure nothing bad's going to happen.
Yeah. Hannibal got out. We had to do what was necessary. Like, I can see why you'd be mad and just be like, hey, you guys fucked up. But like to like full on disciplinary action to like kick someone out of the tower for that. Like, come on. You got to trust.
Well, and also that's a thing in the book too. It's also, you know, that's their biggest fear that's drilled in from day one. You'll be expelled from the tower. Not necessarily still. Oh, you're just gonna kick me out of the tower so I don't have to fucking deal with all your bullshit anymore, but I can still channel. Fuck, who cares? Fuck off. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem like much. It's like definitely seem like it's a one of those you'll shoot your eye out type of threats. It's like, yeah, it could happen, but
yeah,
it's not very likely. So
yeah, if the most powerful male channeler in 1,000 years gets free, draw, bitches, draw.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, we're not gonna, unfortunately, we're not gonna bring this shooter to justice. Yeah.
All right, I gotta hear how you got wet.
Well, we gotta rate it.
Oh, rate it. God, I'm gonna go hot, like you said, as an episode of television.
I'll say episode of television.
Yeah.
Seven.
I'm gonna go 7.5. I'm gonna
really
episode
of Wheel of Time. 6.
It's a 0.6 for an episode of Wheel of Time. This is a terrible, terrible. I didn't want this show to die, but it is definitely another turning than what.
But I'm not mad that it didn't live.
Just, oh, yeah, 7.5 and a 7.
Yeah. I'll give it a 6 and a 7. Like it's, you know, like as a Wheel of Time, there was enough stuff that I liked in it to get it up to, you know, a 6 or a 7. And there's enough stuff that kind of kicked the chair out from underneath me. And just like, ugh.
I like the Tinkers. I, you know, again, they may be.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Tinkers are good. Seeing all the Aes Sedai hanging out at camp. Great. Gwyn is just being a huge bitch. Like, I mean, playing the part. Good job. Nynaeve is being a huge bitch. You know, she's doing what she's like. That's the most consistent character from the book to the show. God, Nynaeve is I hate her. I hate her more than Aram. I didn't get to the end of Aram where he really went sideways. So Nynaeve is my like from.
Yeah. And what sucks is Nynaeve has an even better redemption arc because by the end, just you love Nynaeve because she's almost like motherly to Rand. And she's just, one person that Rand trusts. You know, she's awesome at the end.
Do I want to hang out with her or do I just want
to? No, it was just to have beers, but just saying like as a character, she's awesome. At the end, you know, she loses a lot of her pride and haughtiness through doing stuff. And she becomes a really cool character at the end. She still has a little bit of that naiveness, but she's a much cooler character at the end. So, yeah, you know, I've been fishing. I got a boat. Like it's for a couple of reasons, the ADHD, the parallel play aspects of things is much better for me to, even when I was a kid, if I had to do chores and somebody would stand there and talk to me, I'd get them done a lot fucking faster. So doing stuff alone since my wife passed is pretty hard. But I'm like, this is something that I've been getting out and doing and feeling confident about and got out and it was fucking cold as shit. And, you know, I have all my shit lined up and I'm good. And I even have like a pair of swim trunks just in case and an extra coat. Well, I needed them. So I've been fishing for a couple hours and it was not a super cold day. I mean, it's not warm. And it was kind of raining a little bit and the wind was definitely blowing and I'm just fishing, just whatever. Like I said, I didn't have a thing on because the only time I put my thing on is when we're going fast. And then I clipped my kill switch just in case. But I never even went fast that day. I idled around and then I used my trolling motor, but I kicked one of my rods off the deck. And it was one of the really expensive reels that my friend Sam gave me. And I really liked it. And he gave me the pole too. It was like, you know, it's like a $500 setup. And so I kicked it off the boat. And I was like, fuck. And I dropped down to my knees and tried to grab it. And I missed. And I reached up thinking that I could hook my leg around the stand-up seat on the deck. As I'm reaching again, well, I didn't get the seat. And I lost my balance and went in head first. But I managed to hurt my back and pull something in my stomach, but I did flip around and grab a hold of the boat and not get my head wet because I had these headphones on my head and a beanie on and they didn't get wet because they still work. My vape pen does not work. It is dead. And I started to just like, oh God, I got to get back up on the boat. And I'm like, you're not going to have an easy time pulling yourself up on the deck of this boat because your clothes are soaking wet. And so I'm like, just relax. scoot down to the back of the boat, step on the motor and get up. Like it's like a fucking swim step. It's fine. And I was back in the boat in 20 seconds, ripped off my top layer and put on my coat, took stock. I broke. So another rod went in trying to save that one. Luckily it had a cork handle. It floated. I broke a different one. So I don't know. Did I come out ahead? I don't know. I don't know. I'm not dead. So yeah. But I'm like, check it out. And I got like, literally I have wool, like fleece lined pants. I have wool socks on and I have long johns on. So I just like, well, fuck it. The coat's warm, but I'm going to fish till I can't stand it. I fished for 3 more hours, caught a couple of bass. And the only thing that really was ever cold was my hands.
Oh my God.
I had water in my boots. My feet were warm, especially once the water warmed up. I was warm. And my long john layer never actually got wet. You explain the physics of that to me. It wicks, bro. It wicks. It wicks.
I guess.
I don't know. But like, I literally got to the fucking boat ramp, stripped off my pants, and I'm loading up my boat in my fucking long john. Someone's fishing on the dock. They're like, get wet. I'm like, yeah, you get wet. You pee, bro. No. fuck Wayne Brady. Anyways, so, and I get that. And then I have a hell of a time. My boat does not want to sit on the fucking
trailer. Oh, God.
So I ended up back in the water up to my fucking waist. And that's when I realized that my long johns weren't even wet until I got in the goddamn water.
You got your long johns wet.
Yeah, I got my long johns wet. And then I was cold. But luckily, I got to just sit in the car and heat it up on the way home. So, yeah, just a little crazy. But what's motherfucked up, you know, I'm a man in full, right? So I'm like, ah, shit, that wasn't even that bad. And I got home that night. Have you ever had a laryngeal spasm? Do you know what that is?
No.
It can be caused by indigestion or food. Like sometimes I'll burp up chocolate as I'm falling asleep, and it will paralyze your vocal cords for up to 2 minutes. You can't breathe. You can't speak. And I've had them half dozen times in my life, usually because of indigestion. Well, I was like, well, I'm going to go fishing again tomorrow by myself. Went and laid down at about 8:30. I was like, I'm going to go get some sleep, get up early, do this thing. I was almost asleep and I woke up having one. Did it burp? Usually, you know, you like,
is it from acid coming up?
It can be. It can be from stress, PTSD, lots of stuff. Oh, but generally, mine have been from acid reflux. And that might have something to do with it, but I didn't taste any bile or anything in the back of my throat. I just woke up not being able to breathe. And like, it is a violent reaction. Wake up, run down the hall to my front porch and go outside in the freezing cold air to try to like relax. And be like, because as soon as you relax, it goes away. But when you're panicking, it will not stop until you either pass out or it takes its course, which is about 2 minutes. 2 minutes is an infinitely long time when you cannot breathe. I calm down, drank a little water, 15 minutes or so, lay down, about 10 minutes, it happened again. And I fucking shoot up out of bed. Not as bad this time because I'm like, okay, just chill. I'm like, you know, I don't think I'm going to go fishing tomorrow because I think I was like, feeling like I was going to drown or something like in my head or I don't know, dude. I don't know. But it was really bad. I like, and after that one, dude, I literally sat down on the floor on my toilet, like not on my toilet, but I put the seat down and sat down and just bawled my eyes out. Cause I'm like, I only want to tell one person about how scared I am right now and how scary that was. And she's not here. So, I mean, I still told her about it, but you know, it was like, that was a moment, bro. I was like, God damn it.
What's it called again?
A laryngeal spasm. Like
And how many times have you gotten these before?
Oh, maybe half a dozen times in my entire life.
Wow.
You know, 25 years.
Justin, thank God you've had them. When did you get your first one? Do you even remember when you got your first one ever? Like
in the Shoreline house at some point after I was married.
Oh,
wow. Usually it has to do with me eating like peanut butter cups, like too late at night or some chocolate at night. And then you burp up the chocolate.
Oh yeah. You're saying that like chocolate. Yeah.
But I didn't, you know, you can tell when you burp something up because you wake up kind of to the burp and then you're like,
yeah,
that wasn't the case this time. So it was like, Jesus,
because I know what you mean, but like I get
it's like getting the wind knocked out of you when you can't draw a breath, except it's here instead of here.
Right. And I've like felt that for like 12 seconds, you know, 10 yeah. seconds, like something like that. And it's
tell you, fucking like 45, 60 seconds is a long fucking time, dude. And you're like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And like, if you just calm down, it'll stop almost immediately. But until you calm down, it's fucking serious. It sucks.
But yeah, man, it's so weird how like, I've gotten, I do breathing techniques with my therapist, and I've gotten to the point where I can hold my breath for 2 minutes, like easily.
I used to be able to.
Like easily. But like if I'm swimming and I take a deep breath and go underwater, I start panicking after about 10, 12 seconds.
I can hold my breath for easily a minute and some change. And I used to be able to for 2 minutes plus. And I know that I can do it, but still it's just when you wake up out of a dead ass sleep, because it's right when you're falling to that REM and you're like, and it's like you wake up, someone might as well have been strangling you in your sleep. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, you know, and you can't, it's
and that's a good kind of strangling. You know what I'm talking about, people?
You know what I'm saying?
You know,
do it. But yeah, no, that shit was fucking scary. So I don't stay home. And then the next time I went out was with my buddy Sam and his dad, who was like, like my outdoor dad when I was a kid. You know, we used to go out on San Francisco Bay and fish all the time. So it was really cool to go hang out and fish with him and see him again. It's like, he didn't even tell me that he was coming. And I was like, fucking Floyd, what's up?
Fucking Floyd.
Floyd Sr., man. It was good, though. We caught a bunch of fucking fish. It was great. It was cold.
I don't have a pot to piss in or a window to throw it out of. All I got is fucking Floyd.
I'll take him. I love Floyd.
All right.
That was a good dude.
I love you, Justin. Sorry we got a late start. But
hey, I kept this under the wire, bro. Time to cut.
And you got
it. You always find water and shade. Yeah, I got a story. Got to make jokes.
I love you, brother. I love you. We'll see you next week. We'll do it again.
Hey, call me if you need to decompress, bro. I'm great at listening now that I'm in therapy, so I won't talk over you if you're just trying to talk to me.
I got a therapy. I won't text you later tonight, but you'll be interested.
All right, man. Love you, brother. May you always find water and shade, nerds. Peace, favor your sword.
Peace. Tinker, tailor, soldier, spy.
Yes, tinker, soldier, spy, ale.
I know the fucking song.
I was trying to think of a good song.
I know. My brain just went fucking blank. I can't think of a single song.
I'm like, I got a song, and I'm like,
no, I don't.
Good enough to fuck your mother. That's all I came up with, and that ain't a song. So
it's our favorite song now.
Later, brother.
Bye.